You know, sometimes you sing songs all your life, and then you'll notice a line or a phrase, and then go, wow, that's so, man, that's awesome. A couple lines as we were singing those, just, man, the power. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. You know, he's the Lord when he was born. There's, at his moment of birth, he was the Lord on his throne. All right. Well, here's what I'm dealing with this morning. What I've given myself to deal with. I've given myself 20 minutes for this sermon, which, you know, might be a miracle, not quite on par with the virgin birth, but Christmas miracle, no doubt. But we're going to look quickly at John 1, 1 through 18. Oh. Yeah, is it back there? Yep. I just leave my Bible around places, yeah. Seeing if it gets returned. See if you guys are honest. Spreading the word. Does not return void. All right, John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of flesh and blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that you saw fit to send your son. You saw fit to put on flesh and dwell among your people. The act of humility, the act of grace, that was is overwhelming. So Lord, help us to understand more of what that is like this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So since we have a wide variety of people in here today, and Liam, I love your amens, buddy. Keep it up. So what I want to talk to everyone about this morning is the question of this. When you worship Jesus, when we talk about coming and celebrating the birth of Jesus, who do you worship? What is it that goes through your mind when you worship Jesus? I try to bring in parallels maybe sometimes from different things I've seen. You know, you talk about if you've seen a long time ago, seen Talladega Nights, and there's the guy praying to 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. You know, they're having grace. Nobody, is that too far gone? So I'm going to bring it up to today or yesterday. I don't know if you've seen, there is now is the season for Hallmark sappy Christmas movies, right? Is anybody else? We watched 3 of them Friday night, and I think I cried at 2 at least. So so we've enjoyed that lately, and there was one that we were watching, Chloe and I watched, Friday night, and then we made Rebecca watch it yesterday because we really liked it. And there's this scene where, you know, there's always the goofy guy, the kind of the comic relief in the movie, and he's the boyfriend of the girl who's come home to restore her family farm and all this stuff. You know the plot, right? I don't even have to tell you much more. But the boyfriend is an actor, so to speak, and he's this goofy guy, and he does Christmas karaoke. And he does, I think it was Silent Night. Was it Silent Night, Chloe? It was one of those songs, and there's a manger scene up there, and he's got his own microphone that's kind of like this one, and it is utterly ridiculous. But he's singing this, and he grabs the baby out of the manger, and he's singing to this plastic baby doll, and it's hilarious, and sacrilegious, and all of those things. But but the reality is that kind of reveals something about maybe. How we process this whole Christmas thing, how we process what it means that we're celebrating the birth of a baby that most often gets portrayed in that plastic manger scene or in a picture. And so what I wanted to look at was this opening first half of the first chapter of John, where John is going to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's sharing it, and he wants to lay out this foundation of, this is who I'm talking about. When I talk about this guy, Jesus, this is who he is. I'm laying the foundation of who he is, that he doesn't show up as a baby, and that's like the beginning of his life. Us, the rest of us, all of mankind, when we show up on earth, that's our beginning. But the reality is, when Jesus showed up on earth, that was not his beginning. That was not his first act, even in creation. And so John lays this out for us, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, that reminds us of another first verse of a book, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning. So here he is saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the first thing that when you think about Jesus, and no matter how old you are, but I want to talk to you young people for a second. This is where you guys like to sit. I know you're kind of around area. Yeah, I see some of you guys back there. When you think about Jesus on Christmas morning, don't think about just the baby. I mean, it's an amazing thing. We'll get to that part in a minute. But the reality is that this is the the coming in flesh of a being who has, before all of this stuff happened, he was the Word that through all things were created. Now, it says he is the Word. So here's the first thing about Jesus. Jesus was the one who created this world. Jesus was the one who created this world. It says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So anything that has been made, anything that you can see, taste, touch, feel, imagine, was made, was created through Jesus. Now the reason that it's just amazing that he says the Word, if you think back to Genesis 1, guys, all of you, how did God create? He spoke. He spoke. That's a powerful, powerful thing. If I want to create something, if I want to make something, I have to get into it with my hands. I have to create it with my body somehow. I cannot speak anything into existence. Yet, God, when he created the world, he spoke. And so, if you think about it this way, if you think about the words going out of God's mouth and forming the things that were created, Jesus was that Word. So when it says in the beginning was the Word, because this can be kind of a big concept, right, for us to really grapple with, and especially, you know, the younger folks, and no matter how old we are, this is hard to grapple with. But the way that I think about it is that when God spoke, Jesus was the Word that went forth and actually created the things that were made. So Jesus, who was in a manger, was also the one who, through him, all things were made. And there's nothing that we can see that was not made through Jesus. As you look around this building, nothing was made. If you look at the people that you see, the wood on the sides, all these things, all of the material that has been made was made through Jesus, the word that went forth and created those things. Jesus is also the light, it says in verse 4. So the first thing that you want to know about Jesus is he's the word. He was the thing that created all things that we see. And in verse 4, it says that he is the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is not only the word, but he's also the light. The nature of light, if you think about this, if you go into a dark room, and if you have a flashlight with you, think about this, kids. If you have a flashlight with you and you go into a dark room, what wins, the dark or the light? Does all of a sudden your flashlight go out? That you can't see it anymore? What happened? It was on. The switch is on, but I can't see. Right? The light always overcomes darkness. Light always invades darkness. Darkness is actually, by definition, the absence of light. So where there is darkness, the only way to illuminate it is to bring light into it. You cannot bring darkness into a lit space. It's impossible to bring darkness into a lit space. You have to cut off the source of the light in order to take away the light or create darkness. Jesus is that for this world. This world was in darkness. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. We are in darkness till he appears and the light comes into that darkness. The true light, which enlightens everyone, it was coming into the world. It says again, verse 5, the light shines into the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So in your life, as you think about Christmas, guys, Christmas morning, as we think about all of the things, and I want you to think about this now, and all of us, really. I try to remind myself that they're kids here so that I try to make it as simple as possible. That's what I'm doing here. Remind them. But as we go on through our lives, we can get more and more caught up in the certain aspects of Christmas that maybe cause us to forget or causes us to wander away from the reality of the truth of Christmas. That really what this is about, this is not about us creating some holiday that we can get off of work for a week or a couple days. Or this is not about creating some holiday where we give gifts and all this stuff goes on and there's this hoopla and we've got to, dress up and get drugged to church and all of these things so that people feel good about themselves. The reality of what Christmas means or the incarnation means is that there was darkness in our lives. And Jesus has invaded that darkness. So when you feel darkness, when you feel darkness in your life or in your soul, the answer is having light come into that. Having light invade that darkness through the person of Jesus Christ. So he is the Word, he is the light. He's the one through whom all things were made, and yet this word and this light put on flesh. Here's where we get to that baby. It is a mystery that is beyond comprehension in many ways. That the one who brought life and light into the universe, he entered that universe. This is where it says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Jesus came into this world that he made. I mean, that even if you just kind of dwell on that thought for a little bit. Okay, when God spoke and the word went forth and created, Jesus was the one who did it, and yet he entered into that. He had the power and the authority to create that world, and he entered into it, put on the confines and the restraints that were inside that world, and he went inside it in the most humble and uncomfortable way, honestly. This God who was before all time, created all things, came into this world as a baby. Now, I know that we often think of babies as cute and very, you know, I mean, we have Ian at our house, and, you know, it is amazing. Babies are incredible, right? They're beautiful. They're, you know, they're coo, and they do all the things that are just kind of endear you to them. But the reality is, a baby, if you look at the grand scheme of humanity, a baby is the most defenseless, weak creature in our society. Most defenseless, weak in humanity. There is nothing that this child can do for himself. There is absolutely nothing that you can do. Imagine having all the power in the universe to create all things, and then taking on flesh where you can't even change your own clothes, where you can't even change your diaper, everything has to be done for you. You cannot reach and grab something and pull it to your mouth. There's nothing that you can do. It's the most feeble and weak thing in our experience. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing act of humility that the God of all creation would put on flesh, become a baby, and be born not only as a baby, but in the filth of a cave where animals lived. Going back to I don't know if you've ever, just kind of thinking about the incarnation thing. Imagine, I mean, if you think about it, okay, well, God becoming a baby, that's kind of cute, right? It's not exactly as cute as we think about, right? So in some respects, us thinking about God becoming a baby can be we can think of it as cute and think of it as adorable. But in reality, the difference between God and us is like the difference between like us and maybe, this is even better, I'm elevating our status here, us and a goldfish. In my junior year of college, we had a goldfish pond in our dorm room, me and my friend John, and we took a Rubbermaid container. It was like a 35-gallon Rubbermaid container, and it was our coffee table, and we turned it into a fish pond, and we had these goldfish in it, and we had a filter, and we had all this stuff, and we had a grate over the top of it, and I would sit there sometimes, this is how well I did in college, I would stare at those goldfish. And we got to where we could pet some of them sometimes. But they were well-loved goldfish. But I would think, this thing relies on me for everything. This animal would not exist if it weren't for me. And that really, like, that thought kind of, you know, because I didn't have anything else to think about, that would just kind of, like, go through my mind and going, that is crazy that this creature gets everything from me. I created this whole world that it lives in. I clean its tank. I care for it. I feed it. And yet, I would not for a second ever think about becoming a goldfish. You could not pay me enough money to become a goldfish, right? If you do not clean a goldfish's tank, they die because they're swimming around in their own mess, right? So in many ways, when I think about God putting on flesh and coming into our world, that's how I try to picture it. It's not like me becoming a baby again, right? It's like me becoming a goldfish. Or maybe even if we really were getting closer to what the real separation is, me becoming like an amoeba that's attached to the rock at the bottom of the goldfish tank. Like, that's probably more like what it's like. But the reality is, none of us would want to do that. None of us would want to come into that place, put ourselves in that place, and live there. But that's what Jesus did. He put on flesh. He entered this universe that he created. And he was born in a filthy cave. The first breath that Jesus breathed on this earth was not a beautiful field in the Bavarian Alps. The first breath probably had mold, probably had cattle dung and and urine-soaked hay in it. That's the first breath that our Lord took as Lord on this earth. And he did all this so that we might receive grace. That's what you guys need to know. So Jesus is the Word. He is the light. He put on flesh so we might receive grace. If you look at verse 16. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. From the fullness of the incarnate Word, we receive grace. Now the fullness that he's speaking about is the fullness of all the work that Christ accomplished. He came to this earth, he put on that flesh, he lived among his people, he lived a sinless life, he died a sinner's death, and he was raised from death. All of that in our place and for our sins. The reality of the incarnation is that this baby that was born, this one who spoke the earth into existence, his greatest act of humility was actually not becoming a baby. His greatest act of humility was being obedient to death on a cross. His greatest act of humility was allowing himself, the creator of the universe, the Word that went forth and created the wood that he was nailed to, made himself obedient to death on that cross. He humbled himself so much that he became obedient to that death on that cross. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. I created this wood. I created these nails. I created the material that they were even made from. I even came up with this idea of trees, of plants, of life, that the fact that our lives, our bodies need blood to survive. All of these things that you think about as, I mean, you can get geeked out on it a little bit, as weird as this might sound, but like, imagine knowing, okay, as the nails go through, like, I created those three layers of skin that this nail is going through at this moment. I created the way that the tendons attach to my bones that are being broken at this moment. I created my flesh to protect my body that's being torn right now off of my bones. I created all of these things. I spoke them into existence, and I'm being bound by them. And now I know what it feels like. And all of those things he did, not just because he wanted to, as far as just, hey, I just want to see what it's like to be human. He did it because he was here on a rescue mission. He did it because he was here to take our place, to be the sacrifice for our sins, so that where people are dwelling in darkness, we can see a great light. Where people who live in darkness, those of us who are Christians, we were in darkness. If anyone in here is an unbeliever, you are in darkness. There is darkness in your life, and you know it. I don't have to explain it to you. The only answer to that darkness is a light shining into it, and that light is Jesus Christ. God, from before all times, the one who created things, the one who is the light, coming into flesh, bringing light into your dark place. So the question I will leave you with at this moment is, are you experiencing darkness in your life? If you are, if you're a Christian who's experiencing some darkness because maybe you've wandered away, or you're walking through some sin or temptation or troubles or trials, and you just feel like, I feel like I'm in a dark place. Or maybe you've been dark all your life and you've never come to terms with the fact that you need light to come in. I would encourage you to reflect on that. Ask the Lord, God, I know I'm dark. Please bring your light into my heart. Ask him to show himself to you. Ask him to speak to you. Even as we finish out with some carols and singing, think about the words. You'll see these phrases repeated. The light coming into the darkness. The reality is that that's what we need in our dark world. We need that light to shine into our hearts. We need it not just on Christmas morning, but we need it every day of our lives. We need that light to come in. And from that fullness of what he did, we receive grace. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word went forth. And I ask that you would speak light and life into our hearts. Lord, as we finish celebrating what you have done, I pray that you would just be glorified in our midst, that you'd be glorified as we meditate on your word and as we allow that light to enter our hearts, that light that only can come from you. Lord, I pray for those of us here, if anyone here has darkness in their heart, Lord, for whatever reason, I pray that you would bring light into it, that they would fully submit their lives to you, that they would fully surrender themselves to your hand, surrender themselves to your word, and trust completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf for our sins. Lord, help us to trust in you every day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.